You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, I hope you had yourself a very Merry Christmas. It's been so long, so many days, so many hours without the Locked On Kings podcast. I've missed you all, but welcome back. We're here. The holidays mostly are over. We have New Year's coming, and guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The Sacramento Kings are guaranteed to be 500 or better to start the new year. That's enough of a Christmas presence in itself, but let's celebrate here on the Locked On Kings podcast, and we have a lot of catching up to do. Welcome into Locked On Kings. If those of you are new, if you were gifted, let's say, the Locked On Kings podcast for Christmas, welcome in. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here of the daily podcast that gives you everything Sacramento Kings you can possibly want. Bite-sized format every single weekday. You're looking at interviews. You're looking at in-depth conversations and analysis. We have highlights for you, stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else, right here on the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am from Sports 1140 KHDK, which is the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento, and hopefully you were tuning in to KHDK during the break if you were not able to sit in front of a TV and watch your Sacramento Kings blow two 19-point leads out of the water. The Sacramento Kings are the comeback team of the year right now. Just what they've been doing and what they've done over those last two games, beating the Memphis Grizzlies at home after trailing by 19, and then the very next game, just a couple nights later, beating the New Orleans Pelicans at home, trailing by 19 as well. This Kings team does not quit. They always battle back. They fight so hard, and they're going to need to continue that fight as their next six games are against opponents that are above them in the Western Conference standings. Now, I said on this very podcast that my goal before I was going to be talking playoffs was for the Kings to make it through that rough stretch in November and then that rough end of December and make it to the start of the calendar year at or around 500. Well, the Kings are going to do that. So that means starting in the new year, we're going to really start paying attention to every single game, how it shakes up the playoff picture. We're talking playoffs, and the race has begun with the Sacramento Kings team. They believe they can make the postseason. That's been their goal all season long. So you know what? Damn it. Why can't we believe that here on the Locked On Kings podcast? It's time to start looking at this upstart, fantastic, young, and fun Kings team as a playoff contender in the Western Conference. I did not think I was going to be saying that at all at the start of this season. And you know, there's still plenty of time, plenty of months remaining, plenty of games remaining. We're not even at the halfway point yet. So a lot can happen. Things can fall apart. Things can get better. But all that matters is right now, the Kings are still in the conversation after having the fifth hardest schedule in all of the NBA through the first couple months of the season. And their schedule gets significantly lighter as the season goes on. Things even out a little bit, gets a little bit easier as the back-to-backs lessen, the matchups like we're about to go through right now, six straight games against better teams in the Western Conference, those start to diminish a little bit, which means the Kings have better opportunity to improve on their current record or at least keep that current record going. Now, who knows how many wins it's going to take to make it into the Western Conference playoff picture, but as of right now, the Kings are in the hunt, so you know what? We're going to treat them like so. We are going to treat them like they're just every other team in the Western Conference that would be in this position right now that's looking at the playoffs. What can they do at the trade deadline to help them get over that cusp? I think that's the goal now for almost everybody. Again, there's so much time. Things can fall apart, and I'm not going to say that it's a failure of the season if the Kings do not make it, because it's already been a successful season no matter what. Now, injuries could derail that. There's a lot of things that can happen. But at this point, right now, I'm ready to start looking at this Kings team and say, okay, they've shown me enough. What can they do now to punch through that gap, to break through that brick wall, and to make it to the playoffs? Because in my opinion, they have the talent to do so, and they've shown the fight and the effort and the grit that you need to be a playoff team, or at least make the playoffs. And even if it's an eighth seed and they get swept in the first round, it doesn't matter. This Kings team making the playoffs with this young core versus the Kings team making the playoffs and being swept with a core surrounding DeMarcus Cousins, essentially NBA purgatory, as I like to call it. With the fact that the Kings don't have a draft pick as well, it just makes sense for the Kings to go all out 100%, full speed ahead, and try to break that playoff drought. So we have a lot to talk about here on the Locked On Kings podcast today. We'll recap that Grizzlies game, recap this Pelicans game, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Kings battle tonight in LA, so we'll preview that game as well, even though the Clippers are a better team and are heavily favored in this one, at least according to ESPN's metrics. The Kings are, at least on paper, pretty even with this Clippers team. Now, the Clippers certainly have some bigger names and some advantages over this Kings team, but on paper, these two teams aren't too different and aren't separated by that major of a margin as the ESPN metric would suggest. So we'll look at that. We're going to break that all down. Also, I'm going to tell you how you can log on right now to either to NBA.com. Or go to Google and vote for De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, and any other Sacramento King you want to make it to the All-Star Game. Now, you can use a vote on Marvin Bagley. You can use a vote on Bogdan Bogdanovic. That's completely up to you. In my opinion, both De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield have realistic shots at the All-Star Game, so why not, if you're a Sacramento Kings fan, if you're in Sacramento or anywhere in the world, why not help lend a hand and help vote those two, or at least just one of them, into the All-Star Game, because they deserve it, and it would be fantastic to see some Kings representation there, some young Kings representation there, as De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are clearly and statistically one of the best backcourts in the NBA today and right now. So let's start with this Memphis Grizzlies game. Now, I'm going to be playing some highlights for you from both the Grizzlies and the Pelicans game, and I'm going to start both highlight packages at the largest lead for the Kings opponent. So this highlight package here with the Kings and Grizzlies is going to start when the Grizzlies took the 19-point lead, and listen to this fantastic comeback as the Kings made a push late in the third quarter, made it a game in the fourth quarter, and on their home floor, they did what they had to do. Enjoy hearing and reminiscing in this fantastic win, this fun comeback, and a great atmosphere inside the Golden 1 Center with the G-Man, Gary Gerald.
Jackson looking at a three. It's missed. Rebound. Heel. Put back. Misses a point-blank layup. They can't make anything right now. Still 43-27 in favor of the Grizz. Here's another three on the way. This time it's Wayne Selden who scores it. This is a team who hadn't scored as many as 9 3-pointers in the last 10 games, and they are 7 of 11 from the floor right now. Conley has it knocked away. Steal Fox. Breakaway De'Aaron Fox. Cruise control, spikes it with a left hand off the bounce. He just took that extra step and ripped it. 53-40. Conley fakes the three, dribbles left, then right, gets in the lane for the little runner. It's a two-bouncer that's no good, and Hield has it. Momentum opportunity for the Kings. Hield accelerates, shoulders into the lane, scoops high glass. He's got the bucket, and we've got a ball game in the making at last. Timeout taken by Memphis. It's 62-55 on that push by Buddy Hield. It's Buddy Buckets time. His pass cross court to Yogi Ferrell. Back to Buddy. Wide open. Corner. It's on the way. It's in the well. Four-point game. 82-78. J.B. Bickerstaff calling timeout. 8:31 to go. Kings fans finally excited. On a night when the Kings, even with this run of success, are still shooting under 35% for the ball game. Sheldon Mack playing peekaboo with a screen set by Gasol. Now Gasol makes a cut. Steal by De'Aaron Fox. Leads it out the heels. Got defender in Garrett Temple. To the rack. Score the basket. Buddy Hield. Back to a four-point game. And another timeout being taken. Cauley Stein, top of the arc, to Bielitsa, who straddles the three-point arc, to the curling of Bogdanovic inside to Cauley Stein, converts at the rim. I thought Bogey was going to shoot it. It's a two-point game at 95-93. Willie Cauley Stein now has the double-double, 10 points and 11 rebounds. Heel open for three. He delivers the triple. Kings are now 10 of 20 from three-point range in the second half, and it's a one-point ball game. It's 97-96. We're just inside. 2 minutes to go in regulation. Everybody standing on the lower bowl. Cauley Stein just has to wait. Now the ball is surrendered to him. Two dribbles, spins it, ready for the right-hand release. It's on the way. It's good. Kings lead by three, 100-97. No timeouts for the Grizzlies. Here's Conley on the right wing. He moves against De'Aaron Fox. Swings to Gasol. Off-balance launch for three. No good. Cauley Stein with a rebound. 6 seconds to go. Grabbed the Buddy Hield, and Hield is fouled. The elation continues for Sacramento Kings fans after Willie Cauley-Stein hit back-to-back critical free throws for the three-point lead. And the Kings get ready to put it in play at the opposite end of the floor. Bounce pass to Fox, and this one is over. From 19 down, the Kings get the win, 102-99. The score with 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter favored Memphis 74-57, a 17-point deficit at that time. The Kings finished the game on a 45-25 run to win it by three.
Boy, the first half of that game was ugly, wasn't it? The Sacramento Kings were shooting horrific. At one point, through the first 9 minutes of the second quarter, guys, the Kings were shooting only 5% in the quarter. That's dreadful. I have never seen that before. I've been watching the NBA basketball my entire life. I've covered the Kings for the last 4 years. I've covered the NBA for longer than that. I have not seen a shooting percentage in a quarter, in a game, anything as bad as what the Kings shot in the second quarter. And the fact that they were able to withstand that, the fact that defensively they held strong, and quite frankly, the Memphis Grizzlies, I mean, we know they blew this lead. And I was working with Memphis Grizzlies radio, Eric Hasseltine, formerly of KHDK in Sacramento. And he and his co-host were just furious, his broadcast partner, rather. They were just furious with the fact that the Grizzlies blew this massive lead, but I think they were more furious about the fact that through all of the first and second quarter, with the Kings shooting absolutely terrible, that the Grizzlies didn't do enough to step on their throats. Now you would say, well, Matt, they built a 19-point lead. What more do you want them to do? They could have had it to reasonably 35-40 at some points had they been making a majority of their shots and taking advantage of the fact that the Kings couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. It was horrific shooting top to bottom for this Kings team. Now, a lot of credit goes to that Memphis Grizzlies defense. They like to play gritty. They like to slow you down and really make things hell for you. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Mike Conley looked like Steph Curry. He was raining in threes from all over the floor. But the Kings, they don't quit. They battled back. They fought hard. It was not a good shooting night really for anybody, but they did what they had to do to make their push. They outscored Memphis 25-21 in the third quarter to make it a little bit reasonable going to the fourth, and then they blew the Grizzlies out of the water in the fourth quarter with 37 points. The Kings, to put that in perspective, the Kings only scored 40 points in the first half. They scored just three less in the fourth quarter. They scored 24 points in the first quarter, only 16 points in the second quarter, 25 points in the third, and 37 points in the fourth. They made their push late, and a lot of that had to do with the play of Buddy Hield. He came alive. Another bad shooting night, at least efficiently, 9 of 24. But he did go 6 of 13 from three-point range, finished with 28 points. You're getting used to Buddy Hield not just being in the 20 conversation, but now being on the cusp of a 30s-point game. He's been doing that time and time again now, which is just fantastic. De'Aaron Fox, 14 points, 8 assists, had 5 steals, and finally, there's a stat for De'Aaron Fox's box score that indicates how great of defense he played. De'Aaron Fox's defense in the fourth quarter against Mike Conley was phenomenal. Mike Conley, like I said, had a fantastic game. 23 points, 8 of 18 shooting, 7 of 11 from 3-point range. Mike Conley played 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, people, and he did not score a single point. That's because De'Aaron Fox played as good of defense as I've ever seen De'Aaron Fox play. Willie Cauley-Stein also played fantastic defense as well, helping on the perimeter, putting a body in front of Conley when he did get some space or tried to use a screen, a Marc Gasol or Jaren Jackson Jr. screen to get some space to get away from De'Aaron Fox a little bit, because Fox was in his pocket and in his grill as soon as he touched the ball on his side of the court. I was blown away with not just Fox's tenacity, but when there were screens set to separate Conley from Fox and give him a little bit of breathing room, Willie Cauley-Stein stepped up and really did a good job to cut off the basket, not giving him an opportunity to work his way into the lane. And that just shows the flashes of capability as a defender that Willie Cauley-Stein has. He's athletic. He's big. No, he can't stay in front of quick guards on the perimeter, but he has enough to at least block them or cut off lanes when they're trying to curl around a screen or use that extra burst of speed to get into the paint. Willie Cauley-Stein is capable of cutting that off. He did that against Conley in the fourth quarter, and it allowed the Kings to pull away and to win this game. So a fantastic performance from the Kings. winning against the Memphis Grizzlies for the second time this season, both times in Sacramento. They have one more meeting against this team later in Memphis, and Kings can either, I mean, at worst, they'll be splitting this season series, but realistically, the way the Kings play, I think they should be able to beat this Memphis Grizzlies team in Memphis, but we'll have to wait and see. So a couple nights later, then the Kings take the floor against the New Orleans Pelicans. You're thinking, man, they can't shoot much worse than what they shot against Memphis. Well, that's true. They didn't. The Kings shot much better overall in this game, finishing shooting around 42% from the field, 45% from three-point range. But defensively, they had nothing to offer, at least early on. The New Orleans Pelicans tore the Sacramento Kings apart early, built up a 19-point lead. But you know this Kings team, they don't quit. No lead is safe in Sacramento. Here's the G-Man on the call of yet another spirited Kings comeback.
23-9 is the score. Straight away, wide open, Drew Holiday for three. That cannot happen. Nobody even within 10 or 12 feet of him. He hits the three. It's 12 unanswered points. The score is 26-9. Hello, Kings. Calling the Sacramento Kings. Got a breakaway coming up here. Frazier blocked from behind by De'Aaron Fox. My goodness, Heald in transition, puts it on the glass and scores. And there is your electrifying Petras Brothers moment of the game. My goodness, the chase down block by De'Aaron Fox. And then the transition push and basket by Buddy Heald. And this crowd is in a state of disbelief. A total breakaway for Frazier. Looked like he had a gift coming. And LeBron James would be proud of that chase down effort by De'Aaron Fox. Drop pass goes to Belly. High window flip. No good. Put back. Missed at the rim by Cauley Stein. Great opportunity there. Didn't happen. Here's a steal by Fox. They were trying to set up an alley-oop for Julius Randle from Tim Frazier. Great steal, Fox. To Heald for three. He's got the triple. Timeout going to be taken by Alvin Gentry. Boy, how big was that defensive gem right there from De'Aaron Fox? He makes the steal, finds Heald, and Buddy delivers the triple. It's now 76-69, 7:39 to go in this third quarter. Backdoor cut jumper, dribble handoff to Heald. Strolls to his right, steps back left, launches for three, and scores it. How easily done was that? Buddy Buckets knocking down the triple. A deceiving little jab step to his left, and he's got 18, just like that. And we've got a 5-point, two-possession game at 79-74. Crowd is encouraging the defense here. To the corner to Jackson. No time to Dallas. Shoot it. He does. He scores. Justin Jackson has made it a 5-point game. 6:43 to go. It's 105-100. Drew Holiday spins away from the defender, kicks it out to Davis, goes now to Miller, inside, Randle, blocked over the top by Willie Cauley-Stein, but then the ball goes out of bounds off Buddy Heald. Pelicans will get it back. And a fresh opportunity, 6 seconds on the possession, to the right wing, dribble penetration, lob inside to Davis, he gathers, they're out of time. He was blocked by Bogdan Bogdanovic as time expired, and the Kings get it back. The vast majority of fans in the lower bowl are on their feet. 5:38 to go. 105-102. New Orleans with the lead. Fox wiggles his way left, throws to the near corner. Buddy for the tie. This game is even. The last time we were tied, the score was 5-5. It's now 105-105. So 100 points later, we've got it even. And you want a little Christmas bonus? Buddy Heald was fouled on that shot. He's going to the line with a chance to put the Kings into the lead. His first visit to the free throw stripe. It's on the way, and it is missed. Davis gets his 15th rebound to go with 23 points. Tied at 105. 11 unanswered for Sacramento. Here is Solomon Hill with a kick-out pass to the far wing. Reset. Go inside to Davis against Cauley-Stein. Step back. 19-footer. Air ball short. Grabbed by the Pelicans, but they lose it. Justin Jackson leads it out to Hill. Weaves left. Leaves right. Goes to the glass. Buddy Bucket scores, and the Kings are on top. Unanswered points. Heald has now scored 28. Alvin Gentry has called timeout. I know we're obligated commercially, but doggone it, it's Christmas. Our client said, we've got the Christmas spirit, G-Man. Keep it at Golden 1 Center.
Cauley-Stein was very alert there not to touch the ball because that would have been a double dribble. Inbounds to Heald. Quick release for three. No good. Cauley-Stein gathers. Fouled. Scores. Three-point opportunity for Willie Cauley-Stein. 19 points. 16 rebounds for Willie Cauley-Stein. The 16 boards ties his career high and equals his season high. Fox hands it off to Heald. Back to De'Aaron. Baseline drive. Shovels to Cauley-Stein. Makes the adjustment to the left hand and scores. Willie Cauley-Stein from De'Aaron Fox. Fox with his 11th assist. Cauley-Stein now with 22 points. 115-112. Miller has it out on top. Pressured there. Screen set for Miller. He's going to launch the three over Cauley-Stein. Rims it. Field eats it with a rebound. 42 seconds to go. Kings fans again. Everybody coming to their feet. 33 seconds to go. Ball deflected to the backcourt. Clean. Grabbed by Bogdan. Drives. Scoops. Scores! It hung on the rim for a precious second, and it fell in. A seven-point lead. 119-112. 25.9 seconds to go. Clock was reset at 7.1 seconds. Kings inbound. Pelicans are not even going to foul now. And in the backcourt, Bogey just holds on to it. And this one is over. For the second consecutive game in this building, a most improbable result. From 19 down, not once, but twice, against Memphis on Friday, against New Orleans on this Sunday afternoon. And the Kings walk off the floor with their 18th victory to go 3 over 500. The final score is 122 to 117.
So the Pelicans come out of the gate red hot, and the Kings have no answer for him defensively. Jrue Holiday looks like an absolute beast. Anthony Davis, how are you going to guard that guy? Willie Cauley-Stein had a great game in this one, and we're going to talk about Willie Cauley-Stein more. I think defensively, he did a lot better against Anthony Davis than many would give him credit for, even though Anthony Davis did finish with 26 points on... he did take 20 shots to get those 26 points, which is good. Also pulled down 17 rebounds, had a couple of steals and four blocks. So Anthony Davis did what Anthony Davis does, but Willie Cauley-Stein had a phenomenal game for this Kings team. I mean, just phenomenal. 22 points, 17 rebounds for Willie. Also had a block and three steals. He was all over the place. Plus 14 with Willie Cauley-Stein on the floor. The only one better for the Kings was Buddy Hield. Plus 17. Guess what? Another 28 points for Buddy Hield. This time he does it on 11 of 18 shooting. So very efficient there, Mr. Hield. He went 6 of 11 for 3-point range. Buddy Hield is now averaging over 20 points per game. I know, I'm surprised too. It took him that long to get over that average. But yes, Buddy Hield is a 20-plus points per game scorer. He has been fantastic for the Kings all season long. Offensively, he is so crucial. And he's really picked up a lot of the scoring load with Marvin Bagley being out. Now, Marvin Bagley averages about 12, 13 points per game, so he's not expected to come off the bench and really light up the scoring column, and I wouldn't call him one of the best scorers on this Kings team. But missing that 10, 11, 12, 13 points per game that Marvin Bagley has been bringing off of the bench, you need someone else to provide that, even if it's from one of your starters. And Buddy Hield has been doing that, and then some. He's really stepped up, and you have to love what he is doing. De'Aaron Fox, another double-double for Foxy. 19 points, 11 assists. The Kings went crazy in the second half. They also went crazy in the second quarter, although defensively they just had no answer for New Orleans in the first half. But they made those second half adjustments, and I like what Dave Yeager said after the game. I apologize, I don't have the audio for you. I was actually not at this game. I was currently, down south a little bit celebrating with some extended family for the Christmas holidays. So I was not here and able to see this game. I know they also did a soldier return home surprise, which is fantastic as well. I'm bummed that I missed that. But this crowd, this atmosphere, I watched it through TV and then watching it and listening to it again when I got home. I get chills. I can't imagine how great that crowd was and how spirited they were watching this Kings comeback. But anyway, following the game, I love what Dave Yeager said. He just said, we just keep coming at you. We don't quit. We will keep coming. We recognize that a basketball game is 48 minutes, not 24. The first 24 we lost pretty big time, especially defensively. We took our break. We recognized that, you know what, we need to adapt certain things if we want to have a chance, but we knew we were going to have a chance. Now, I'm paraphrasing essentially what he said and ad-libbing and adding my own to it, but essentially what he's saying is that this Kings team, they always know how to fight, and they always recognize that they are like the Warriors were a number of years ago and still are today. They are a team that can make one run and get themselves right back into a game regardless of how big a lead is, and that's what they did. Once again, they blew their opponents out of the water in the fourth quarter, not just offensively. The Kings scored 36 points in the fourth quarter of this game, but they held New Orleans to only 21 in the fourth quarter. That's a good defense. That's what you want your defense to do, and they managed to do it when it mattered most towards the end of the game in back-to-back nights, which I think is crucial. Now, I'm not going to call this Kings team a good defensive team whatsoever, but they show flashes. You saw what De'Aaron Fox did against Conley. You saw what Willie Cauley-Stein did against Anthony Davis. This Kings team shows flashes of when they need to, they can buckle down, they can get important stops, go back on the other end, and get the big bucket. You can see the building blocks, the foundation of a dynasty to come with the Sacramento Kings team, and it is so much fun to be able to watch. So yes, with this win over the New Orleans Pelicans, the Kings guaranteed themselves 500 or better heading into 2019, which is just so sweet to say. They are now 9-7 at home, but they will not be home tonight as they get right back to it. They are in Los Angeles to take on the Clippers. They've taken on the Clippers once this season. Now, this was right after all the news came out that Dave Yeager kicked Brandon Williams out of practice. It was the NBA on TNT game, and the Clippers built themselves up a big lead. The Kings made a little bit of a run trying to work their way back into it, but the Clippers pulled away and won the game in the fourth quarter. That game was in Sacramento. This game is in LA. Now, according to the ESPN metric here that I'm looking at, their matchup predictor, they have the LA Clippers as nearly 70% favorites to win. Now, I understand LA's at home. I also understand that they're playing better and have a better record. They're 19-14. The Kings 18-15. The Clippers are also 11-4 at home. So they've been very, very good, very dominant inside the Staples Center. But you look at this team and you look at their team stats and the numbers that they're putting up in comparison to the Kings, and it's not that much better. Now, it's better, but it's not that much better. The Kings average 115.1 points per game. The Clippers average 115.6. The Kings give up 116.4 points per game. The Clippers give up 114.6. So in reality, they do have a positive plus minus in terms of points scored and points allowed, which is why they've been successful. And that's very important. 1-3 point difference can be a massive gap in the NBA. But because the Clippers have been able to play better defense for the majority of this season, that is why they do have the better record, and that's why they are so heavily favored. Both teams shoot 47% from the field. Kings average 44 rebounds a game. The Clippers average just 45, which is a good thing. The Kings average 25 assists per game. The Clippers average 22, and both teams average just under 5 blocks per game as well. But the Kings are a better defensive team, at least steals-wise. They average 8 steals to the Clippers' 5. The Kings are coming in 6-4 over their last 10. They've won 2 straight. The Clippers just lost a game. They're only 3-7 over their last 10. So they're starting to come back down to earth a little bit after the fantastic start that they got off to. They lost to the Golden State Warriors, the Portland Trailblazers, and Oklahoma City Thunder. Those are their 3 most recent losses. They do have 2 wins, though, against the Denver Nuggets, that are the number one team in the West right now, and against the Dallas Mavericks. So this is still a very capable team. Like I said, 11-4 at home. They're a very, very good and strong product. You have to watch out for Tobias Harris. We know what he can do. I love Tobias Harris. He's a guy that I would love to see the Sacramento Kings go after in free agency if they have the money and the position available. However, I don't see how the LA Clippers let him walk. They have the money to spend, and they should throw it at Tobias because he's been fantastic this year, averaging 21 points per game on 50% shooting from the field. He's also an 87% free throw shooter. He's also pulling down 8 rebounds a night. They have Lou Williams coming off the bench, and you know Lou Williams can be a Kings killer, especially from the perimeter. And one of the things I also really noticed the last time these two teams played is how good of screens Marcin Gortat sets. In my opinion, Marcin Gortat sets the best screens in the NBA. He's just such a big body, so hard to go underneath or go over the top of. And for someone like Lou Williams to have that big body, really that brick wall to set screens for you, to open up that space to either let it loose from three-point range or attack the basket and get into the lane, that is all the money that you need. So Lou Williams is going to be someone that you have to pay attention to on a nightly basis. As a volume scorer off the bench with that second unit, we know the Kings, sometimes their second unit can come in and kind of lay off the gas pedal a little bit. Lou Williams is someone that will check himself into the game or will be checked into the game by Doc Rivers and can immediately take over before the ball really is inbounded. He just, that is the kind of player that Lou Williams is. So you have to be careful and pay attention to him. I'm also very interested in the matchup between De'Aaron Fox and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in this game. Because if you remember the last time these two teams met, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander really embarrassed Fox on the defensive end of the floor. He went right into the chest of Fox, and Fox really had no answer. So how is De'Aaron going to respond? Now he's going up against a rookie point guard, so he has the advantage in years. One of the few times this season that De'Aaron Fox will ever have the advantage in experience and years over a Western Conference point guard. So I want to see him use that, and I want to see him, you know, you got me last time, kid. I'm going to get you this time. I'm going to show you how it's done. So I'm looking for a nice response game from De'Aaron Fox in his matchup with Gilgeous-Alexander. So we'll hopefully see if the Kings can get this win here tonight. We will come back on tomorrow's podcast, and we will break down this game. I'll have highlights for you, analysis, and all that great stuff. So be sure to return tomorrow for that. In the meantime, you need to head over to NBA.com right now. Stop what you're doing unless you're driving. Get to NBA.com and submit your votes for the NBA All-Star Game. I don't care who you pick, as long as De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are on your ballot. We need to try and get both of them to Charlotte for the 2019 NBA All-Star Game, but we gotta get at least one of them at the very, very, very least to get some representation there, because both of them are having all-star caliber seasons. And I want to talk about both the growth of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield on a later podcast this week, because I think it's really interesting looking at the both of those and really analyzing which one's been more impressive and how much does it, or does the two, or both of their growth rely on the other, if that makes sense. How much is the success of De'Aaron Fox in his second season, especially as a facilitator, fall on the shoulders of Buddy Hield making more shots? And how much does Buddy Hield being a more effective scorer and scoring more on a nightly basis come from playing most of his minutes alongside Fox as the point guard? I think it's all fascinating and very, very interesting. So we're going to be looking at that and breaking that all down in a future podcast. So thank you again. I hope you had a fantastic Christmas, and welcome back to the Locked On Kings podcast here. We will have podcasts for the remainder of the week leading you up to the New Year's break. So tune in tomorrow. We'll break down this Los Angeles Clippers game and then some. You can follow me on Twitter and interact with me on social media at any time at MattGeorgeKHDK. Feel free to live tweet with me and chat with me tonight during the game. Also, email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I got so many Christmas emails from so many of you. I'm so, so grateful for any of you that take the time to be able to chat with me and to share your King stories with me and just to wish me Merry Christmas or just to be involved in this podcast in any way, shape, or form. I do not take it for granted that so many of you listen to me and use me and use this platform to get your Kings news and to get your Kings fix on a daily basis. That is something that I do not take for granted. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep sending those emails. I will always, always do my best to respond to them. I will speak with you tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.